Chapter 42, The Weekend Parole. Another week at the Slave Academy passed, each day etching its lessons into Melissa through the relentless rhythm of Zuri's commands. Now Victor brought her before Marcus in the same bare training room, its wooden floor cool beneath her feet, its walls a mute witness to her progress. Carla's hollow obedience haunted her as she prepared to face Marcus. Marcus sat at a low table, Zahara beside him, her dark eyes glinting with quiet scrutiny. Victor leaned against the wall, arms crossed, his sharp gaze tracking every move, while Zuri lingered near the door, whip coiled at her side. This was Melissa's test, a chance to prove her training had taken root, to earn a weekend beyond these walls. Victor nodded to Marcus.
Start with the poses. Test her foundation.
Marcus straightened, his voice steady with a confidence honed by weeks of Victor's guidance.
Attention.
Melissa snapped into position, feet shoulder-width apart, hands clasped behind her head, spine rigid. The motion flowed without a hitch, the whip's echo from past failures a silent spur.
Worship.
Her forehead brushed the wood, hands settling beside her head. Swift and precise. Marcus circled her, a faint nod signaling his approval.
Stand.
She rose, her movements fluid, a testament to the Academy's drills. Victor's lips twitched, a subtle sign her body had mastered its role.
Kneel.
He said next. She sank smoothly, knees meeting the floor with a soft thud, eyes lowered in deference. As Melissa knelt before Marcus, her body flowing through the poses with practiced grace, she couldn't shake the memory of Carla's haunted eyes and trembling voice. The box scared Melissa. She couldn't stop thinking about what would happen if she messed up. That fear pushed her to focus hard, following each command perfectly, so she wouldn't get punished. She remembered Zuri's whip from before and didn't want to feel it again. So she made sure to do everything right.
Good,
Marcus said, stepping back to the table.
Now serve us coffee and snacks. Zahara's with me.
He gestured to a tray on a side table, a steaming pot, two cups, and a plate of Grabusian flatbreads, their edges crisp and golden. Melissa approached the tray, lifting it with a steady grace, honed by weeks of practice. The weight settled comfortably in her hands, the faint clink of porcelain, a quiet rhythm as she moved. She knelt beside Marcus first, her posture low and composed, the collar at her neck a dull gleam in the dim light.
Master, your coffee,
she said, her voice soft but clear, a thread of calm woven through it. She placed the cup before him with care, her fingers steady, the liquid undisturbed. Marcus took it, his eyes meeting hers briefly, a flicker of warmth there, but she kept her focus inward, her demeanor unshaken. Then she turned to Zahara. The previous week, this moment had unraveled her. Zahara's smirk, her taunting words had pierced her mask, sparking anger that betrayed her. Now Melissa breathed through it, her training a shield. Zahara leaned forward, her lips curving slightly, testing her as before.
My next goal. Quickly now. Your master shouldn't wait.
Melissa didn't flinch. Her jaw stayed soft, her eyes downcast but serene.
Yes, mistress,
she replied, the title slipping out with measured respect. No trace of the resentment that simmered beneath. She knelt again, placing Zahara's cup with the same gentle precision. The coffee settling smoothly, without a ripple. Zahara's smirk lingered, but Melissa's face remained a blank canvas. No glare, no tension, just the quiet poise of submission. She reached for the flatbreads next, setting the plate between them with a smooth glide, her hands light and deliberate.
Master, your snacks,
she said to Marcus, her tone warm yet restrained, then turned to Zahara.
Mistress, yours.
The words flowed evenly, no sharpness to betray her. She knelt back, hands resting on her thighs, her body a still line of obedience, Zahara's presence could no longer provoke her into showing her outrage of the injustice of it all. Marcus sipped his coffee, his gaze steady on her. Zahara nibbled a flatbread, her smirk softening into something closer to approval, though her eyes still probed for weakness. Victor stepped forward, his shadow falling across the floor.
"Enough,"
he said, his voice low, the Russian accent rolling thick. He studied Melissa, her calm posture, the cups placed with care, the plate centered neatly, then turned to Marcus.
"Look at her now. Pose is perfect, serving flawless. No hesitation, no attitude. She moves with intent. Her mind's in it this time."
Marcus set his cup down, a faint smile tugging his lips.
"She did it right,"
he said, his tone lifting with satisfaction. Victor nodded, straightening.
"Yes, she did. Obedience isn't just the act, it's the spirit behind it. Last time, she glared, slammed cups. Her hate bled through. Now she bends fully, even with Zahara here. She's past Marcus, her head's catching up to her hands."
He paused, his gaze sharpening on Melissa, then turned to Marcus.
"But watch her close this weekend. She moves right, speaks right. No defiance now. Still, there's a slight delay sometimes. A brief pause before she acts. That lag isn't rebellion. It's a symptom of her old mentality, the way a free woman thinks. She hears your command, and for a moment, her mind processes it, judges it, considers it, before she moves. That's autonomy, not resistance. But it's still there. A reflex from when she had a say. A slave doesn't process. Her body should respond directly to your words, as if your voice controls her muscles, with no thought in between. She's good enough for home now, but that trace of her free self remains. When she returns, we'll train it out. Make her obedience so instant that no pause betrays her former will."
Melissa stayed on her knees, eyes on the floor, breathing steadily. She heard Victor say she passed, and it felt like a win, not for Marcus or Victor, but for herself. Zuri's whip and slaps had forced her to learn how to obey perfectly, and she had used that to get through the test without messing up. Zahara stared at Melissa, her smile showing she was pleased, though she tried to hide it. Melissa hated serving the woman who had talked Marcus into sending her to the academy, where obedience was drilled into her, but she had to kneel before her and serve her nonetheless. She was angry at how they had treated her here. They had trained her like an animal. When she hesitated for a moment to think about the order, it revealed she wasn't fully used to obeying like a slave should. Victor had noticed this brief delay and pointed out that it showed her mind still worked like a free woman's, thinking and judging the order before acting. She was shocked that he could spot such a personal part of her, the logical way she processed things, something she hadn't even realized herself. It unsettled her that he wanted to change her thoughts. She was mad, amazed at how far they'd go to train slaves, even trying to control how they think. Victor glanced at Zuri, then back to Marcus.
"She's ready for the weekend. Take her home. Test her there. We'll see what holds when she returns. We will continue to work on her mentality when you bring her back."
Marcus stood up, smiling at first.
"Well done, Mel,"
he said, but then his smile faded as he noticed the marks on her body from punishments weeks ago. He hadn't told them to do that, he wouldn't have, but the academy did what he couldn't, and it got results. Still, her blank look worried him.
"You've come so far,"
he added, trying to sound positive. Melissa felt relieved after passing the test. She had gotten through it, done well, and now she would get 2 days outside the academy, a reward she would make sure to keep by staying obedient. Victor spoke up again.
"This helps her get used to being with you again,"
he said to Marcus.
"We'll check on her more when she gets back."
Melissa stood up when Marcus motioned for her, her movements careful from all the training, and she felt happy knowing she would get a break from the academy. She had handled their rules for now. She didn't let Zahara's taunts get to her, and she followed Marcus's orders. And that small win made her feel steady as they left the room together. On the walk home, Melissa kept her eyes on Marcus's back. She squared her shoulders, voice sharp with an edge.
You don't really expect me to call you sir all the time, right?
Marcus stopped for a moment and thought about what Melissa had said. The old him, the shy Marcus, would have just laughed, agreed that it was silly, and begged her to just like him. But that Marcus got nothing. He had tried doing the right things, and she still had preferred Arbeck over him. Now he owned her, and if he didn't stay in charge, he might lose her again. Victor had taught him to focus on control and forget about romance. But deep down, he still really wanted her to love him. He had tried talking her into liking him before, and it hadn't worked, but maybe if he made her obey him, she'd realize she belonged with him. Like Victor said, her obedience would become a part of her. Marcus felt a pang of unease. He found it strange to have Melissa call him sir when he longed for a real, loving relationship with her, where such formality wouldn't be needed. But then he saw an opportunity. Victor had taught him that closeness should be a reward she earned, and following this protocol could be the standard she'd have to meet to do so. If she followed it, he could reward her with the closeness and the sex he wanted, making her feel like she had earned it while he got what he desired. It was a way to follow Victor's advice and still fulfill his own needs. He decided to try Victor's way.
Yes,
he answered. His voice stayed gentle, but left no room for debate.
Victor recommends protocol. It will help you settle into your role. Straying might confuse you, pull you back to old ways. Think of it as if Victor is always watching.
Melissa felt indignant. She wasn't some dog to heel at his whistle. But she really wanted the break from the academy. And that mattered more than her anger, so she couldn't let it show. She decided to hold back her feelings for now, just to make sure she got those 2 days away. Indignation simmered inside Melissa at Marcus's expectation of her obedience, but she resolved to comply. If she didn't, he might complain about her to Victor, keeping her trapped at the Slave Academy longer. She would do what he wanted to escape those walls, even if just for a little while. Marcus thought her compliance stemmed only from fear of the whip and endless drills. But for Melissa, it was more than that. The memory of the box was still alive in her, a terror that could break not just her body, but her spirit as well. She had seen what could do from Carla's example, how it had shattered her defiance, and she remembered her whispered explanation of its suffocating darkness, the cramped heat, the biting insects, the endless isolation that drove her to beg for release. Yet Melissa refused to let Marcus know about the box, or the immense power its threat held over her. If he knew how deeply it intimidated her, how she would agree to anything to avoid it, after witnessing Carla's torment, he would have too much leverage. It would weaken any chance she had to negotiate with him. So she decided to keep that fear hidden and pretend she had accepted her role as a slave instead. Once inside the hut, Melissa stayed mindful. Every step could shape how long she remained under Victor's roof. She felt exhausted after weeks at the Slave Academy, her body and mind worn down by endless drills and punishments, leaving her too drained to demand her freedom from Marcus as she had initially planned. On the walk home, she had wanted to bring it up, to plead for release, but his insistence on protocol had made her think twice. Marcus seemed so set on following Victor's rules now and enforcing her submission that arguing for freedom felt pointless. She decided she'd be better off playing the role of a good slave, hoping Marcus would give Victor positive feedback so she could get out of the academy sooner. If she pushed for freedom, Marcus might tell Victor, and Victor could see it as another sign of her free mindset that needed fixing, keeping her trapped there even longer. Once inside the hut, Melissa stayed mindful. Her behavior now would shape how long Marcus would leave her enrolled at the Slave Academy. Marcus gestured to a corner where a shallow basin sat, a bucket of warm water beside it.
"Clean yourself up,"
he said, his tone firm but calm.
"And don't forget to address me properly."
"Yes, sir,"
she replied, the protocol a small price to pay for this moment of respite. The Academy's harsh drills and Zuri's constant oversight had left her body aching, her skin gritty with sweat and dust. But here, in the quiet of the hut, she felt a rare peace wash over her. She dipped a cloth into the warm water and began to clean herself, the sensation a soothing relief after weeks of communal showers at the Slave Academy. This was her first real bath as a slave, and the privacy felt like a luxury she hadn't realized she craved. The warm water cascaded over her arms, washing away the grime of the past weeks, and she let out a soft sigh as the tension in her muscles eased, the gentle drip of water filling the silence. For the first time in what felt like forever, she didn't have to brace for Zuri's slap or a barked order, and the relief of that solitude steadied her. This weekend was a break from the Academy's relentless grind, a chance to breathe, and she intended to savor every moment of calm. When she finished, she dried off with a rough towel Marcus had left nearby, her skin tingling with cleanliness, the faint scent of soap clinging to her. She stepped out of the corner, her bare feet padding softly on the wooden floor, and found Marcus at the small table, where he had set out dinner in the meantime. The evening light spilled through the window, warming the boards beneath her knees as she knelt beside him, her posture submissive as she followed his protocol. Marcus sat in his chair. He pulled out fresh bread, a wedge of cheese, and a bowl of fruit. He tore off a piece of the loaf, its crust crisp and golden, then layered it with cheese and a slice of apple. With a quick press, he shaped the sandwich and handed it down to her.
"Take it, Mel,"
he said, his tone firm but calm.
"And remember to thank me properly."
Melissa's fingers brushed his as she took the sandwich, her voice soft but careful.
"Thank you, sir,"
she said, the words a reminder of her role but also a small victory. She was here, not at the Academy, and that alone was worth the compliance. She lifted the bread to her mouth, the flavor bursting across her tongue, rich, earthy, with a hint of sweetness from the fruit. She chewed slowly, letting the texture linger, her eyes half closed as the taste filled her senses. Eating here without Zuri, Dimitri, or Victor looming over her felt like a quiet escape. No shouts, no drills, just the gentle hum of the evening and the warmth of the hut. This small moment of peace, free from their oversight, steadied her, a fleeting comfort she could hold on to. Later, in the bedroom, Marcus watched Melissa closely, Victor's lesson guiding his actions. He had set a clear rule for the weekend. She needed to follow protocol, addressing him as sir and obeying every order without hesitation to earn his closeness. All evening she had met his standards, calling him sir at dinner, serving him with care, and responding promptly to his small requests, like fetching his drink with a quiet yes, sir. Her consistent obedience pleased him, showing she was learning her role.
"I'm proud of you, Mel,"
he said, his voice soft but firm.
"You've done well tonight, followed my rules perfectly. You've done well."
He pulled her into an embrace, his arms warm around her, a reward for her compliance. His lips met hers in a deep kiss, and Melissa returned it, her mouth softening against his. The affirmation, "I desire nothing more than to please," echoed in her mind, drilled into her by weeks of repetition. She understood the balance of power. Pleasing Marcus might shorten her time at the Academy, and having put him in a good mood felt like a small victory. He eased her onto the bed, her hand brushed the sheets, their softness a gentle relief after the rough mats she had slept on. She ran her fingers over the fabric, smooth and cool, and let the sensation sink in, a comfort she welcomed amid her careful steps. Marcus moved over her, their bodies joining without strain. Her flesh responded, no artificial aid needed this time. When release came, it washed through her, steady and real. Marcus sighed, his own satisfaction clear. Melissa felt a thread of fulfillment in his pleasure, the affirmation, my pleasure comes from my master's satisfaction, threading through her thoughts. She lay beside him after, her mind a blend of quiet contentment and measured intent. The weekend offered a break from the academy's grind. Every moment reminded her that freedom remained out of reach, tied to the will of those who held her chains. She lay beside him after, her mind a blend of quiet contentment and measured intent. The weekend offered a break from the academy's grind. Every moment reminded her that freedom remained out of reach, tied to the will of those who held her chains. Marcus sat up, his expression firm as he opened the drawer of his nightstand. Instead of the handcuffs he'd used on her weeks ago, their metal edges once biting into her wrists, he pulled out a long chain, its links glinting faintly in the dim light.
You've behaved well this weekend, Mel,
he said, locking one end to her collar and the other to the headboard, the click echoing the familiar restraint of the academy. Outrage burned inside her at being chained like an animal, but she suppressed it. She wouldn't voice her anger, it was still better than being handcuffed, and she couldn't risk undoing the fragile progress she had made. Sunday evening cast long shadows over the path to the Slave Academy. Marcus walked beside Melissa. Her bare feet scuffed the sand, the steel collar at her neck, a cold weight she despised. She clenched her fists. How could anyone accept this? Naked, chained, owned like some beast. The outrage burned in her chest, a fire she refused to let die. She glanced at Marcus. His calm face irritated her more. He decided her fate so easily, and she hated him for it, and his power to keep her enslaved made her seethe. She stopped short of the gates. Her voice cut through the quiet, sharp with fury she could no longer fully contain.
How dare you drag me back to this hellhole? I'm not some animal to be caged and trained here.
Marcus paused. Her words struck him, raw and fierce, a glimpse of the woman he once knew before the collar. Yet Victor's lessons anchored him. The Slave Academy worked. Her weekend obedience proved it. He believed in the path, even if her anger unsettled him. He met her gaze, his tone steady but soft.
You're staying here, Melissa. Victor's the expert, and I trust his judgment.
Melissa's jaw tightened. Her eyes blazed, indignation searing through her. How could he stand there so smug, deciding her fate? She wanted to scream, to rip off the collar and fling it in his face. But she knew the drill. Marcus wouldn't whip her, he never did. But if she pushed too hard, he'd tell Victor. And Victor would hand her to Zuri. The thought of Zuri's whip cooled her outburst, though her fury simmered on. She swallowed her words, dreading punishment from Zuri, but her rage didn't fade. Zuri waited beyond the gates. Her stern face showed no mercy. She grabbed Melissa's arm with a rough tug, pulling her from Marcus. Melissa stumbled forward. The brief taste of softer days, bread, a bed, slipped away. She shot Marcus a final glare, her outrage plain, despite the restraint she forced on herself. He turned away, leaving her to the academy's grip. Marcus followed Victor to the office. Victor settled behind his desk, his blue eyes fixed on Marcus with a calm that belied the question he asked.
Has she assumed poses in daily life without you asking the...
Marcus shook his head. Guilt pricked him, but he answered honestly.
She did at first when we stayed alone. In public she forgot, didn't kneel, didn't ask to speak, eat or use the bathroom.
Victor nodded, His face betrayed no surprise, only understanding.
She should do that, Marcus. We focus on it this week. But you let her disrespect you. As master, you enforce protocol. She needs clear rules until it's natural. You owe her this. When she stops challenging you, then you ease up. Not before.
Marcus felt the truth in Victor's words. He had hoped the weekend would settle her, that her compliance would grow on its own. Victor's point hit harder now. He had softened too much, let her drift back to old ways. Her outburst at the gates flashed in his mind, fierce, unyielding. He needed to guide her, not just wish for it. He left the office. The clank of chains and faint voices reciting affirmations drifted through the air. Melissa's world swallowed her again. Marcus walked away, his thoughts torn. Part of him wanted her back soon, tamed and close as she was. Another part questioned if this path was leading him astray. For now, he trusted Victor's way to bring the peace he craved. As Melissa stepped into the Slave Academy, her shoulders tensed under the weight of return. Victor's promise of more training echoed in her ears as Zuri led her to the basement dorm. Chains rattled as the other girls took their mats. Zuri had them lock their collars to their chains as every evening. Her voice barked,
"Worship!"
The girls knelt, foreheads to the floor. Zuri's boots thudded out and the door shut. Quiet fell over the room. Melissa eased onto her mat. The rough weave scraped her knees. Her weekend with Marcus, a soft bed, warm baths, no Zuri barking orders at her, faded like a taunt. Her collar pulled as she shifted, the chain a cold insult she loathed. She glanced at the girls from her first night. Hannah sat to her left, steady and quiet. Jennifer rested a few mats down, sharp and restless. Their tired faces grounded her in this harsh place. Hannah moved closer. Her chain clinked softly.
"Hey, Melissa, you stayed out there with your master. How was it?"
Her eyes met Melissa's, warm with curiosity, the same kindness from their early talks. Melissa drew a breath. Her anger surged, but she kept it low, safe among friends.
"It's better than here,"
she said, her voice firm with a bitter edge.
"No whip, no shouting, a nice bed. Not this filth."
She jabbed the mat with a finger.
"But it's not freedom. I had to kneel before him, call him sir, do work around the house. How dare he treat me like that? It's just a bigger version of this place."
Her words carried outrage, though she softened them here, away from captors' ears. Jennifer propped herself on an elbow. Her hair fell over one eye.
"Sounds about right,"
she said, her tone dry and cutting.
"They toss you crumbs to keep you tame. My owner pulled that. Fancy meals one day, lashes the next. It's a trick, not a gift. Prettier chains, like you said."
Her smirk faded, her eyes showing a flicker of care, a bond from their shared nights. Melissa nodded, her gaze fixed on the wall where her chain looped.
"Marcus smiled, said I did well. Part of me felt good hearing it, a stupid second of warmth. Then I remembered I'm still stuck here. How dare he grin while keeping me like his pet? I can't get my head around that."
She rubbed her neck, the feel of the collar stoking her fury. Hannah tilted her head. Her voice stayed gentle but firm.
"That's their game. Little scraps to twist your head. My bar owner patted my back for fast trays like I'd wag my tail. I hated him for it, but I smiled too. You're right to feel torn. We all do."
Jennifer lay back. Her snort cut the air.
"Torn? He's training you to accept life as his slave, Melissa. Don't buy into it. Keep sharp. Sleep now, though. Tomorrow, Zuri's hell waits."
Her words bit, but a rough concern lingered, a warning from experience. Melissa looked between them. Moonlight slipped through a high window, lighting their faces. Hannah's calm steadiness and Jennifer's blunt honesty steadied her, pulling her from the weekend's haze. Her outrage burned brighter here, safe with them.
"Thanks,"
she whispered. She curled onto her mat, the chain clinking as she settled. Their words sank in, clear, solid, a spark to carry into the dark. Back in England, her so-called friends had been shallow. Party acquaintances who would laugh at her struggles, their conversations empty, their loyalty non-existent. Here, with Hannah and Jennifer, she had found something real, a bond forged in shared hardship that felt like the sisterhood she had never had. Sleep overtook her, her anger still simmering as she drifted off.